Good afternoon. Let's go ahead and begin. This is a public rulemaking hearing held in accordance with the State Administrative Procedure Act, specifically Section 24-4-103, Colorado Revised Statutes. The date is March 3, 2009. The time is 2:04 p.m. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room on the second floor of the Secretary of State's office at 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, and I'm convening this hearing in accordance with the rulemaking notice that was published in the Colorado Register on February 10, 2009. And I might note that this is a meeting that's being broadcast on the Internet. That's what the screen is telling me, at least. Let me make some other introductions. To my far left is Wayne Munster, who's the Acting Director of Elections. And then to my immediate left is Andrea Geiger, Legal Specialist with the Elections Division. And to my right is Monica Marquez, who is an Assistant Attorney General who represents the Secretary of State's office. So the purpose of the meeting today is to receive comments from the public on proposed amendments to the Secretary of State's election rules. As stated in the notice, one of the rules is concerning the treatment of undeliverable new voter registration notifications pursuant to Section 1-2-509, subsection 3. And I'd like to give just a little bit of background about that for the record. This was a rule that was adopted on a temporary basis in January, and it relates specifically to the process when a county clerk receives a new voter registration application. Section 1-2-509-3 requires that the clerk send a confirmation card to the address listed on the voter registration application. If, under the statute, if that is returned to the clerk as undeliverable, then the application is not completed. All of the information, of course, stays in the score system. It's all there, but the voter registration is not completed. And as a result, then someone who has submitted a registration, if they show up on election day, they could vote a provisional ballot. If they confirm their address on the provisional ballot affidavit, then of course the provisional ballot would be counted. The concern of the Secretary of State that led to proposing the rule is that the confirmation card might be returned as undeliverable because of postal error. And we think that does happen. And so the purpose of the rule is to provide some additional protections for the voter, even though ordinarily the voter will be protected by the provisional ballot process. Nevertheless, it seemed appropriate to require an additional mailing to go out by forwardable mail. So that was the process that was that's called for in new rule 2.17, which is proposed to be made permanent in the for purposes of the hearing today. The other rule before us is a proposed new rule 49.4 that would establish a formal user group, an advisory board to provide guidance concerning the operation and maintenance of the statewide voter registration system known as SCORE. This is something that has been talked about since we began developing a statewide voter registration system sometime after the passage of the Help America Vote Act. Some of the county clerks have really expressed a strong feeling that since they're the users of that system as an election management system, it's important to institutionalize some of the need for them to provide input on what their needs are, basically. And although there's been a steering committee and various other forms of input as the SCORE system was developed and implemented, I know certainly some clerks have felt that something needed to be more formally established. the particular genesis of the rule at this rulemaking hearing came about really because the Election Reform Commission, one of the subcommittees in particular, considered a recommendation for a statutory provision for a formal board of some sort. And when the Election Reform Commission considered that proposal at its last meeting, I did indicate at the request of one of the county clerks on the commission that the Secretary of State would be willing to consider a rule that would do that. I did express personally some opposition to putting that in statute, but that I thought that it was appropriate to consider a rule that perhaps would achieve the same result or a similar result. So that's Secretary Buescher felt that that was appropriate for us to move forward pretty quickly, and that's why that was added to the rulemaking last week when the revised rules were published on February 26th. I think that's hopefully covering most of my preliminary background. This is a formal rulemaking hearing, so I'm encouraging and welcoming and wanting public input. We have received a couple of written comments that will be made a part of the record. I'll probably end up leaving the rulemaking record open for some period of time so that we could receive additional written comments after we close the hearing today. With that, then I'd like to turn to the sign-up sheet. If anybody wishes to testify, I would ask that you sign your name on the sign-up sheet that's on the table by the door. And I should note for the record also that on that table there are copies of the proposed rules and the notice of proposed rulemaking, as well as a regulatory analysis that was prepared by the office in accordance with the Administrative Procedures Act. And there may be other things on the table as well. Looks like a lot of stuff there. So with that, I'll turn to the sign-up sheet. Mr. Ragsdale, are you going to testify? It says to be determined whether you're going to testify. Then if you'll step to the podium and identify yourself for the record and who you represent, if anyone, and I welcome your comments.
Good afternoon. My name is Russ Ragsdale. I'm the City and County Clerk for the City and County of Broomfield, Colorado. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to proposed Rule 49.4. I believe I may have been one of the clerks that Deputy Secretary Hobbs referred to as having strong feelings about the governance of SCORE. We have talked on several occasions about the shape that this body takes. It has always been my wish that this be included in statute, but however, since reviewing the proposed language for the rule, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good approach. It's going to give us the opportunity to monitor the performance of this board, where its successes and failures are, allow us a chance to document those changes, and give us some flexibility in making alterations where needed. I would suggest, however, that if the notion ever comes to the table about counties having to assist subsidizing SCORE, I would suggest that the clerks will probably be very adamant that this moves from proposed or from promulgated rules into statute, along with a vehicle to override veto in addition. But other than that, I would like to thank the Secretary and staff for including this in rules and forwarding this. I do appreciate it. It's great that we're finally seeing this come to fruition. Thank you.
Mr. Rashley, and I might just ask if there's any particular suggestions you have about the exact form the rule should take. I mean, the proposed rule does provide for, you know, the scope of duties, the membership, various things like that. I just, you know, if you have any comments for improving the rule, I'd be interested in hearing about them.
Well, quite honestly, I think I've already had input on it. It all looks very familiar.
You had done some drafting yourself in the past.
Yes, unfortunately, I didn't copyright the language. No, I appreciate the opportunity to comment, but I believe it's, as it stands, it's pretty good. The devil's in the details. I think when we start working out the charter of the board, we'll flesh out many more details and how, and define better what the scope of the board is and what their area of responsibility is. And we'll wait and see how that works.
Okay. Thank you very much. John Zakim.
Thank you, Mr. Hobbs. Appreciate the opportunity to be heard on proposed Rule 49.4. I'm here as counsel to the State Republican Party. I am also here with the authority to represent that the Colorado Democratic Party agrees with what I'm about ready to tell you. We like the idea, both parties, and I should also say I also represent a number of other stakeholders who will be utilizing the score system. And while we appreciate the notion of having a governing board looking at score and think that this proposed rule is a very good idea, we think that having it composed exclusively of county clerks and a representative from the Secretary of State's office may be efficient but not as effective as possible. I have great concern whenever a bunch of government workers get together and do something that they think is going to work well. It usually works well for government and not anybody else. Now, it may very well turn out that the county clerks have the foresight to divine what the stakeholders' interests are by virtue of the fact that county clerks on a daily basis, especially during election season, are interfacing with candidates, with political parties, with businesses who utilize the information in the SCORE database for their legitimate public purposes. In addition, however, there are watchdog organizations, including the parties, that act in a way that supplements the activities of the state in verifying the information and accuracy of the SCORE database. And having those folks have a say, a seat at the table, so to speak, it's the party's opinion that this will accentuate the broad scope and purview of the board with respect to ideas that are brought in by the parties and non-governmental stakeholders in the system. So my suggestions for modification to the rule would be a couple. First and foremost, we like the idea of having the board, the clerk members on the board chosen by the clerks. That makes a heck of a lot of sense. However, we would suggest the addition of three non-clerk members to the board. Those non-clerk members would be chosen by the Secretary of State and should be balanced in terms of political party. Likewise, anytime you put together a board, it's been my experience that they function better when there's a sunset to the board service. So put a term of service on board membership. That way, you're getting new and fresh ideas. You don't have one small group of clerks or a real forceful clerk kind of co-opting and running roughshod over the board. You get kind of new blood in there and new engagement, new ideas. So a term of service, most boards are 4 years in the state, some are three, some are five. That really doesn't matter to us, but put a term on there so that we get some new blood in there. And I think that's it. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Zakim. Let me understand a little bit better about the interests that others might have in participating in the advisory board. So I think what I heard, basically one of them is interest in the information produced. And so, for example, parties depend on various reports from SCORE for their purposes.
Absolutely. And so do businesses. I mean, there are a lot of commercial businesses that utilize the SCORE database because, if somebody is at SCORE and they're an active voter, that means that's a good address to mail business literature to people. That's a good address to develop walking lists for door-to-door marketing, for recruiting for nonprofits, to get people to come into church. Obviously, for campaigns, it's very important. What information is included in the public access portal and the manner in which that information is accessed by the stakeholders is of paramount importance to my clients and in particular the parties and candidates. So
You know, I had a long conversation with Martha Tierney about this, who represents the Democrats, and we had the same concern. I mean, it's not that we don't trust government, but we think we can participate with government to provide for a better product for the citizens of Colorado. And in terms of appearance sake, let's get some citizens on this board. Let's not just have government work for them. It looks better.
Okay. And then another interest that I think you're identifying, but I wasn't quite as clear on it, but I think it had to do with citizens and groups being able to more, I'm going to make a stab at this, more easily verify the accuracy of the data, and help me out there. I think because you did state another interest there.
Sure. But one of the things that stakeholders that I represent, both parties do this routinely, is they go through and look at the information on the voter file as to specific voters. And let's say I'm the Denver County Republican Party chairman, and I know that Phil Clark at 123 Main Street is dead. He's my friend, and he shows up in SCORE as a registered qualified elector. Well, that is an error in the database that I can then contest by virtue of my access to SCORE. Now, it's not my position that the SCORE board would even contemplate restricting the ability to contest a voter's eligibility in that manner, but it may be that the technology and the development of further technology in the SCORE system is such that it can be done in a more efficient manner and allow the county parties or the state parties or any other watchdog group to be able to do that function in a more efficient manner. And that's what we should encourage. At least that's my opinion. And so as this board reviews and looks at ways to enhance the system, which is its purpose, it's our position that individual stakeholders, non-clerk stakeholders, and in particular representatives from the parties, are in a better position to assess the efficacy of new rules or suggestions with respect to those interests that are not necessarily the clerk's interests in managing an efficient system from their perspective.
Well, and at the risk of belaboring us a little bit, because you touched upon something that we've had some internal discussions about, is that there's, you know, using the example you gave of someone on the database that is deceased, or maybe you see duplicate voter registrations or other problems with the registrations, there's issues that might relate to the database itself and its functioning in accordance with its design, and then there's also issues with respect to the statutes and public policies that should be driving that election management system. So, as you know, there's a lawsuit pending about the ability of clerks to cancel duplicates and so forth. It's not really an issue with the SCORE system, I don't think. It's really more of a public policy and legal issue.
Absolutely. The stakeholders that I'm mentioning have a seat at the table with respect to the Secretary's suggestions to the legislature on statutory changes and with respect to Secretary of State's rules pertaining to purges or any other element of what you just discussed. What I'm saying is we want a seat at this table too, because frankly, this is where the rubber meets the road in terms of getting our stakeholders' end goals accomplished in the electoral context. I mean, this is the data that matters most, and it has to be timely, accessible, it has to be accurate, and it has to be something that we can efficiently and cost-effectively access. And those aspects aren't necessarily always, I mean no dispersion to the clerks whatsoever. I mean, the clerks have, in my opinion, across the state, done a magnificent job in managing this system. But we want to make sure that there are private party interests that are continuing to sound off on the interests of those private parties, which may be in contravention to what the clerks want to see. I mean, it may not always be the private party's interests to have the most cost-effective outcome. We may want to look at more expensive ways of doing things if it gets us better information or more timely information. And that may not be in the clerk's interest. And you got 8 clerks on the board. I mean, it's more than likely they're going to control what recommendations go to the Secretary of State from this board. What harm is caused by, you know, a loud fly in the ointment?
Okay, good. Mr. Munster.
Thank you for your testimony, by the way. You mentioned that we should consider adding an additional 3 members to the board. And I'm sorry if I miss it. I heard you say one would be appointed by the Secretary of State's office.
No, it's my recommendation that they all be appointed by the Secretary of State's office.
And who do you envision the Secretary of State's office appointing?
Well, if I were Secretary of State, I would appoint somebody from the Republican Party that I know is attuned to these issues, and somebody from the Democrat Party that I know is attuned to these issues, and somebody from a nonpartisan organization like Common Cause.
And would you suggest we approach the parties and ask them who would be, you know, would best serve the board?
Well, I mean, you approach the parties and they're going to tell you who they want. That may not necessarily be the most efficient for the board. You know, the secretary has access to those people through other, advisory groups. The people who our stakeholders are well known to the secretary's office, to your office in particular. And, you know, I think you guys can identify readily whom you think would assist and be productive in the context of that type of board. But, I mean, I'm not here to tell you
right
who or how.
No, I just was wondering what your vision was. But that also brings up another question. Should third parties have a seat at the table as well? You know, the Libertarian, the Greens. We're picking an R and a D. I can certainly see the Libertarians feeling left out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess from my experience, and I've been dealing with this for 10 years, 95 to 98% of the issues that come up are, with respect to Secretary of State policy, is agreed on by the Republicans and the Democrats. Because good policy is good policy, and it shouldn't matter which party you're from. I would suggest that the balanced Republican-Democrat is as much for show as anything else. I think that the major parties have done a good job of representing all political parties' interests thus far, and it is not uncommon in our elections code to favor the major parties anyway. So it's nothing new. You wouldn't be breaking new ground. I would have no problem if minor parties had a seat at the table either. And the other consideration is, do you want to have a representative from vendor groups? I don't think it necessarily applies as much to score as it does in voting machine context, but you know, there's a lot of stakeholders in this system. I'm just here talking about the few that I represent, but I do think that having non-governmental members adds some credibility and broadens the insights of this type of board.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Zakim. I don't have anyone else signed up to testify. Is there anybody else present who wishes to testify? Seeing none, I will leave the rulemaking record open until the close of business on Friday. So if there's anybody here or listening who would like to provide written comments, please deliver them to the Secretary of State's office by the close of business on Friday. I would direct them to Andrea Geiger, Andrea.Geiger, G-Y-G-E-R, at sos.state.co.us. So with that, we'll conclude. The time is 2:31 p.m., and I do appreciate your attending and giving your feedback. We're adjourned. Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Hey, take care.
See you.